We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yes, welcome back to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And Olin, I wanted to ask you, you said you were going to keep a close eye on some of the battles on the offensive front, the defensive front. Mm-hmm. What jumped out to you about the moving of the linemen, about when Lucas Patrick went down? What did you notice about that?
Well, they were having, as you pointed out in our text chain, they had a list couple pre-snap issues before Lucas went out. But obviously, when you go to what would be your third string center this year, right? Because Cody, Lucas, and then it was supposed to be Doug Kramer, right? And then you brought Feeney in, and this guy came in late. And as loud as it was up there in Detroit, you're going to have some struggle with the cadence, with the snap count, with everyone getting on the same page and trying to time up this guy's silent count. When you change the center, you change the timing of the silent count. So you knew they're going to have some problems. But, Mully, like you're saying, I mean, until there's 4 minutes and 15 seconds left in the game, they overcame all of it and were looking pretty damn good.
Right.
Yeah. And they won like every battle in the trenches. And again, I'm going through this film, and on that last play, guys, Aiden Hutchinson probably should get a chip over there. Darnell Wright probably does get beat. But I don't know if Fields is too deep in his drop there. Like, I don't think you're supposed to be at 11 and a half yards or 11 yards from the line of scrimmage. So I don't know if he's deeper than Darnell Wright expects him to be. And again, late in the game, it just looks like their details fall apart and they're all not on the same page. Someone's not making the play. Someone's not being Pat. Here it comes again. Someone's not being a multiplier.
Yep. Yeah, that's interesting. It's just, you know, you can blame two players or blame everybody there because you talked about Darnell Wright was the depth, right? And then why the heck are you not helping out on their best pass rusher? I know that didn't really, I mean, I just, that to me is, that's coaching as well, right? You need to, you know, the situations. All right, if we do get into a situation where we're down and we need to throw the ball, what are we going to do at the end of the game? We're going to double Aiden Hutchinson, right? We're going to take care of that guy so he can't beat us. And what happens at the end? He gets a strip, you know, strip sack and the safety and all that stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of people to blame. But I just, like you said, 4:15 to go in the game. They're up 12 and they end up losing this thing. And it's just a lot of moving parts at a lot of stuff had to happen to make that happen.
That's outstanding.
Yeah,
it's very hard sometimes not to cuss on the radio because it's probably
We need a podcast after that game, man. We need a podcast.
Yes.
What's funny, Pat, is like, you know, in drops, right? A lot of quarterback drops are 10 yards, right? When it's deep drops.
Yep.
You know, in that sack, it's like 10 and a half yards, and that's how you lose.
Yep.
Like, I hate to say that, but it's the details at the end of the game. And like you're saying, why is Cole Kmet, let me look for the guy's name since I don't know it. Why is he chipping Charles Harris?
Yeah.
There's a guy over there who is a second pick in the draft and is a master at dancing. We have to chip Aiden Hutchinson.
Yes. Yeah.
Did they not hear the pregame show?
Yes. Yes. Dan Pompey didn't fly to Detroit to interview Charles Harris.
Right? Right, exactly.
Hall of Famer. He went to interview Aiden Hutchinson. Even Dan Pompey knows you need to chip Aiden Hutchinson in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Even Dan Pompey. You are beautiful. I think that the takeaway here from all the stuff that we've been talking about is that anything good that was going on, anything that you felt was a positive, anything that seemed like they had overcome something, it all just fell apart in the final 4:15 from the point where the Bears scored the field goal to whatever it was, 3 minutes left when they got their touchdown, which again, a minute 16, just absurd. But then that set them up after the Bears' possession. It's just like, no matter what you liked earlier in the game, you can't somehow get away from 17 points allowed in the final 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it's just all soured. Like, I was excited to talk about Tyreek Stevenson, right?
Yeah,
it's his first pick. knocks the ball out on the kickoff.
Nice fumble.
You know, they get turnovers. All right, we're excited. You know, the hits principle's going. Justin Fields looked very good. I thought Luke Getsy for the first three quarters called a darn good game using Justin Fields the right way. That's the stuff I was all excited to talk about. And then this just happens. You know, then we got to just – everything soured. All the good stuff is soured. It's just – it's unfortunate that we're here doing this, and the Bears are doing this to themselves. And Olin, you started it by what – was this going to happen? How are they going to lose this game? And they did.
Mm-hmm. And it's just – it's almost like you want to ask Coach Eberflus, what is your situational work like, right? Because you have to put your team in these moments – during the week, like we have to, we're up by, you know, six or three, or we're down by three, and we have to win the game. And you just constantly got to drill what actually happens. And the reason why you talk about Justin Fields in the last part of games is every NFL game comes down to the last drive, right? Yes. Like, this is what you need to be working on. This is just critical, and you're falling apart at that moment. And you can't do anything, man, after you watch a game like that. But the head coach, it stands in front of the room, and it's his responsibility to get his team ready for those moments to win the game. And again, we talked about pregame. What does Justin Fields need to do in the last seven games to convince Ryan Poles, Ian Rappaport's report, to not take a quarterback if they have the first pick of the draft? And look, that's minus one now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right, let's try Jay. Jay is on the south side. Hey, Jay.
Hey, y'all, man. What up, man? Hey, I'm drinking Hennessy, so I'm a little sad, but I'm not too sad about the game.
You should be drinking Tullamore Dew.
Is this Fred Baxter?
Go
ahead, Jay. Sorry, man.
Definitely Olin Cruz. Man, if we wasn't on the radio, I'd tell y'all my – and words, but we're on the radio, so I can't say that right now. But,
well, I mean, you've made the correct decision to crawl into your cups a little bit. I think that if I was the coaching staff, I'd be doing that on the way home, frankly.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, you got to drown those sorrows.
I think it's, look, I mean,
all right, Jay. Thank you for the
Jay
call.
Jay communicates like me after a few. I tell you, it's exactly what I sound like, man.
Hey, I understand every word you always said.
I know exactly
line
what Jay's trying to say. You know, it's like you're halfway through your conversation. There's so much you want to say, you just can't even get it out anymore, right? So, the frustration, man, it's real.
Yeah.
It's,
yes, yes.
There is an Irish whiskey called Mulligan, believe it or not, and it is kind of like tastes like Southern Comfort. And my mother's maiden name was Hennessy, so I've come by this honestly. My opinion.
It was a Hennessy kind of loss, right?
That's 100%.
Pat, we used to have a teammate, Fred Baxter. He used to serve Hennessy on a plane after.
Oh, is that
just
right?
Like that. Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Great French cognac. Man. John is in Dallas. Hey, John. Uh-oh. You okay,
man.
John?
It's a Hennessy kind of night. It's a Hennessy kind of post-game show.
John must have...
John, you there?
Asleep.
You there, John? Just the moan. He's done with the moan. Let's try Frank. Frank's in East Chicago.
All right. How's it going, guys?
Well, it's still
good,
early.
Frank. Thanks for not partaking too much Hennessy when you call it.
Yeah. Well, Olin, man, you are a real bear. Let me say this, man. I'm somewhat older than you. I remember Gale Sayers, Brian Piccolo, and of course Dick Butkus. I watched those guys play. I also had the privilege to go to the Super Bowl and be there. I actually scouted my way into the New Orleans Superdome. And I stood up that whole game. It didn't matter what seat I had. I just stood up and watched it. Okay. I have some things to say that our coaches changed, and it really starts from the play when there was a third and one, you know, the drive where we kicked that last field goal, Okay, third and one. Why did they go into this not to lose mentality? Do what you did the whole game. Play like you were playing. This is a morale booster for the whole team if you let them play. It's not like we're gonna lose the playoffs this week if we don't. You know, we're not even going to the playoffs. So let them play loose. Let them play loose. They were there.
You wanted them to go for it on fourth and one? Is that what you're saying?
It shouldn't have been the fourth and one. That play they called on the third and one.
Okay.
Remember?
They tried to sneak.
I
would have liked the zone read there, too. Spread the field and zone read them and put it in Justin. Let Justin read the DN.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And you know what? Actually, it should have been four interceptions. If Johnson got that pick six.
Yeah, it could have been five. There was another one down by the goal line.
Right. It wouldn't have even been close enough. I mean, it's like, you know what, Fields? I'm going to cut off your arm over here and cut off your leg over there, and I want you to come and win the game in 30 seconds. No, it shouldn't have even got to that. It shouldn't even got to that point. We can't put that on Fields didn't do what he needed to do. No, the team let him down. The coaches let him down. Getsy let him down. Eberflus, they let him down. They let him down. Were they trying to sabotage the game or something? I don't understand. And, you know, playing that, I'm scared now. You got players on there. I mean, you got players who are playing for something. Some may get injured and never get another contract. You never know.
Thanks so much. You know appreciate it, Frank. I mean, there's
Molly
a lot.
And Pat, I got to go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, there's a lot riding on this season, even the last seven games. That's all.
Yeah. You know, I got to be honest, on that fourth and one, I thought the same thing. I thought you're out of the playoffs. Even what Frank said, you know, I know you go up by nine. But I thought, again, I want to evaluate Justin Fields and can he make the critical plays. And I thought, give him the ball. Give him the ball and go for the first down. I understand the smart thing to do. I understand you go up by nine. But I thought at that moment, man, like, you know, everyone talks about Dan Campbell going for it on four downs, believing in his team, changing the culture. I honestly thought that on the couch. Like, I know what the smart thing is to do, but I forget when it was in this season, but we talked about going to Justin Fields like Harbaugh went to Lamar Jackson and said, do you want to go for it here? Mm-hmm. What play do you want to run? And that way you hand the team to Justin Fields, right, at that moment. And he said, what do you think we should do right now? And if he says run a play, I ask him, what play do you want to run? And I put the ball in his hands and I say, go get the first down. Go get it for me and put this game away.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say I was the opposite because I was like, just get a win. But in hindsight now, you talk about it and you I get it. Yeah, shoot, yeah, do it, go for it. But during that situation, I'm like, they kind of got this game in the hand. You know, the defense have been playing well. They've been moving the ball. And so I felt, okay, just take the points, get the lead, make it a two-possession game. But in hindsight, right? I'm not saying that you said or saying in hindsight.
No, you're exactly right.
That was just my thought. That was my thought. That like, hey, just get this darn win because nobody picked them. They were 8.5-point underdogs. And if you can walk out with a win, that builds a lot. But then what they did in the last 4 minutes and 15 seconds changes the entire narrative.
But that's the one that put them up nine, not 12.
Oh yeah, nine. Yeah.
And that's the point, I think, is that you're only up six. If you miss that. They get the ball in, you know, I don't know, decent territory, and if they score a touchdown, they beat you. It just seemed like a no-brainer. But I like that mentality because I think you have to accept that you are going nowhere, that you aren't going to be able to, you know, you need to get questions answered, and maybe you need to approach decisions in that fashion.
Maybe that changes going forward.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's something they have a discussion about, that like, hey, we need to, you know, make different decisions in different scenarios. Maybe that's something that happens in the coaching room. But I want to bring up, Frank brought up Jalen Johnson, and we talked about him in the pregame, right?
Yes.
We said, who has the most to gain for the next seven games? I think he hurt himself. He had the big pass interference.
Yes.
And then your playmakers, the ones you're going to pay the money to, right? The ones that are going to make the differences in the games and could have really sealed that game, could have taken 7 points, could have flipped the game 14 points because it would have taken away the touchdown they had, and he could have probably most likely was going to take that in for a pick six. You want to see your playmakers, the guys that you're going to pay all that money, top corner money to, make that play in that situation. And it's unfortunate he didn't. And I think he dropped another one where I think he slipped a little bit going forward, and he could have had it as well. But that to me hurt him in my evaluation of him if I'm Ryan Poles.
Yeah, man, that sucked for him, right? Like mm-hmm. you're cheering for him at that moment,
yes.
right? Like,
you yes.
know his preparation, the way he works, the way he gets ready for games, put him in that moment, man. Mm-hmm. Put him in that moment to make that catch. And you're really cheering for him to make that damn catch and get paid his damn money, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want for him. Like you're talking about, Pat, it just seemed like, again, the reason Ryan Poles is not giving you the boatload of money that you want, all those reasons showed up in one game, right?
Yep.
They all showed up right there. And you know, as former players, man, you feel bad for him. I'm sure his teammates mm-hmm. do. But that the kind of league is we're in is you can feel bad for a guy and still say the truth. You got to
yes.
make those plays if you want to get paid.
I mean, that's what the coach is saying to him, right? And like
yeah.
you said, like yeah. his prep, I mean, he made a perfect break on the ball. Like he knew the route and everything. But if you want to be paid as that top corner, you have to make that play. And I'm cheering for him because I want that great corner. I want that guy that's going to change the game. At maybe at the you know in the fourth quarter comes up with a big pick and stops the drive and gets the ball back to the offense. But it stinks to see that happen because you know those are game changing plays. I mean that's 14 point swing there.
Yeah,
that could have been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would have been head of a field in front of him
because yeah.
whoever he I think it was Amon Ra St. Brown. And he was basically tackled by whoever else was mm-hmm. was nearby that play, thinking he had caught the ball. That guy was never going to get up and chase Jalen Johnson. So it would have been it was a huge play in the game, and it was just a missed opportunity.
Yep.
Let's try Todd. Todd's in Dwight. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, real quick, I wanted to give both Olin and Patrick something to be happy about. So, Patrick, if you get a chance, go and watch the Jaguars, their long snapper, Ross Matisic. I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
Yes.
He made an unbelievable tackle, forced a fumble, recovered it. So I know I don't have to tell you, don't let anybody ever say long snappers aren't football players. And Olin, if I'm not mistaken, your son played at Loyola and you're coaching at Mount Carmel. You got two teams in the state championship next week, so feel good about things. But the question I had is, you know, with Justin Fields, man, you know, when do you stop as former players trying to explain why guys aren't good or making plays and just come to the conclusion maybe they're not good. And last but not least, I've got a 10-year-old, and you've all been parents, you too, Molly. We've all had to sit through some middle school games, and your poor post games. It's kind of like parents after a middle school game. You sit around and you watch, and you know it's all yeah. it's awful.
You feel our pain.
It's awful. It's awful, and you talk to each other like, oh, well, that kid made a nice play, and that kid, you know, you watched an hour and a half of garbage, and then you try to convince yourself there were six or seven plays that were okay. And last but not least, never touch the stuff, guys, but I think I'm going to go get me some Hennessy. So you guys are awesome.
Thanks, Todd. Olin, congratulations on Mount Carmel,
well
buddy.
Yeah, yeah, Mount Carmel, yes. I think we have to congratulate Coach Lynch down there at Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
We're Carmel. We lost, but I appreciate him trying to cheer us up.
Yeah, yeah, and Loyola, congratulations to Loyola. They got past
yeah,
York.
You know, Coach Holosek yeah. built that program yeah. that is still strong after he leaves, and they got great coaches there,
yep.
great kids, and you know, doing a really good job there as usual at Loyola. They have a great football program and a lot of support there.
Let's try. Yeah. Where are we? I'm sorry, guys. I believe it is Zach. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Bob. Bob is in Joliet. Hi, Bob. Zach's next.
Hi. Don't fire Eberflus or Getsy. Let them embarrass themselves the last seven games of the year so they never coach in the NFL again. Defensive line. I've heard Sweat's name once and with a sack. That's it.
Yep.
Did the defensive line show up, and did Ngakoue play?
Yeah, they had two sacks, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's a lot better than
yeah.
most games, so I'll give him credit for that. And Sweat did have that nice sack on the boot and showed his athletic ability to be able to, you know, chase down Jared Goff. But, again, he was going against Penei Sewell, who might be the best right tackle in the league, and that was a fun battle to watch. I think Sewell won most of the game, but you know, one sweat for a DN, that's what you ask them to do, right? You get one tackle or one sack, and that yeah. constitutes a good game. So, you know, I the D-line to me, I didn't think – I thought they they raised their play against a darn good O-line. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, hey, it totally does. Until
go ahead.
Final point, if, would there would, – would there, if we – if Poles drafted Jalen Carter, what would the – what changes to this year – would be. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. Be more. There'd be more.
Well, the offensive line would be struggling, right? Yep. I mean, that's the truth too. Darnell Wright has done a really good job. Obviously, mm-hmm. he gets beat late in the game there, but he's really solidified. That he's been steady there on that offensive line. Now, Jalen Carter is a monster, and he's someone they need. Although Javon Dexter has shown up on our TV screen, guys.
Yeah.
The last couple of weeks, nickel rush. Today he beat Penei Sewell with a nice hand swipe. I don't know if the running back chipped Penei out of the way, but he did. And Javon Dexter got home a couple of times. Again, like with this whole game, we thought we were going to come on and talk about how impressed and how much better yeah. that defensive line was, right? And how they slowed down the Lions' run game and how they kept – they got enough pressure on Goff and made him really uncomfortable to where he had to throw into those tight windows that the zone the Bears play. And instead, we have to talk about something else because they fell apart yep. in that 4 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yep.
I thought it was kind of cool that Montez Sweat had his first sack as a Bear, you know, against a great player. I they called him a multiplier when they got him. And I think the line has played better with him. He's a guy that you have to be aware of and you have to game plan for. And I think he's a good player. I don't understand why you'd come away from that game saying the defensive line didn't do anything.
Yeah,
they weren't supposed to, first
I agree.
Of all.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's why I was saying, you're right, all up until 4:15. I thought they had a pretty good game. I think they were held them to maybe 80 yards or 75 yards rushing up to that point when I checked. And, you know, they reeled off more. I think finished with 115 yards, I guess, rushing. But, you know, that was one of the things I was like, wait, they're playing pretty good against, you know, Dan Pompey talked about, or no, Lomas Brown or whoever was talking about, they might be the best offensive line in the league. And I thought they held their own. And I thought that was one of the positives that we were going to be talking about. But look what the D-line did. You know, they got two sacks. That's better than zero they've had most of the year. But, again, it's just that end of the game. The defense fell apart, and the offense couldn't get it done.
Let's try Zach. Zach's on the west side.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's an honor to be on the phone with you guys. I really enjoyed today's game. What I didn't enjoy was the play calling. I think that when you bring in a coach like Harbaugh, somebody who knows offensive aggressiveness versus – you know, let's get up to a certain amount of points and then let's let the other team catch up and possibly win, you know, and take our foot off the gas. That's the type of offense that we have now is let's show, and then take our foot off the gas. And then now we're in a situation like we were in today where we lose the game. I think when you bring in a Harbaugh type coach, he's aggressive. He's going to get those points. You know, the third down where they went for it and the push, you know, run, and that just wasn't effective. And they didn't go for it on the fourth down. So it's like, why even call a play like that? I just think that, you know, the lack of aggressiveness about this and consistency with this team is what's going to ultimately doom the Bears. And look, you know, take a page from the Cubs. If you can let go a decent coach and get a top-tier coach, that's what they need to do. They need to stop sitting on their hands, and I hope Ryan Poles have a good plan. I like him as a GM. Some of the picks he has, you know, grown to really nice, good players, you know. But I just think this is the year. This is the offseason where he pulls a Jed Hoyer, and go gets a bona fide coach, and then put Justin in the position. You know what I mean? Because you can't leave a rookie right tackle against a defensive stud. He should always be double teamed on that last drive. So, you know, those are the glaring mistakes that Olin Cruz, that, you know, you guys that's Hall of Fames can see that. And if you guys can see it and the regular fans can see it, then Poles has to be licking his chops at the next Jim Harbaugh, because he's coming out of Michigan. Hopefully it's to Chicago. Thank you, guys.
What do you think?
Yeah, what he's talking about, that third and long play call. I mean, that to me, that's coaching, right? You during the week, you're supposed to put yourself in those situations mentally of, like, what happens if we get down in the fourth quarter and we've got a third and long? What is our best call? Who are their best players? How do we defend, or how do we take care of them? And that's a glaring mistake by Luke Getsy, in my opinion, that not helping out Darnell Wright on some of those plays. And just, it's that to me, that falls on coaching. And that's a good call there by Mark.
You know, it's just, and like, you know, Pat, so much goes into the organization of a play, right? So What we don't know here while we're talking about it,
right?
Yes, you got to get a chip on Aiden Hutchinson in that moment. Yes, that is, you know, it's really a big mistake. If that was coaching, you know, Aiden Hutchinson was switching sides some of the game. Now, I don't know if Justin Fields is supposed to move the chip over. Right? Is he supposed to move Cole Kmet over on first down there and give Darnell Wright some help? Who's supposed to recognize that? Is Cole Kmet supposed to just move over there and see him? And Justin Fields doesn't have to move him. Look, Cole, we're putting you out there. Wherever Aiden Hutchinson is, you have a chip flat, right?
Yep.
Chip him and move him to the flat, or chip middle, chip and go to the middle of the field. So that is what we don't know when we're watching this, but it just all comes back to this. Eventually, all those mistakes, no matter who you can blame, falls on somebody's doorstep. Falls on the guys, the head coach's doorstep, and then eventually all the times that this has happened through all the games. We talked about Justin Fields now being 1-8 with the ball in his hands at the end of games in the last 2 years, right? When all these, and we can blame everybody, right? You can blame Emir Smith Marset, you can blame EQ St. Brown, you can blame Darnell Mooney, you can blame Tyler Scott, but eventually, man, you can blame the O-line, but eventually I got to see you make a play, like when Dan Feeney's snapping you the ball, right? And Larry Borum's at tackle. You step up in the pocket and you're a multiplier and you hit DJ Moore for a touchdown. Yeah. I need to see that at the end of the game.
It's a great point. It was a great play. It was his best play of the game, but you needed that whenever. Okay. Great stuff. We've got.
Hey, Molly, real fast. I wanted to say, when he was yelling at Dan Feeney, I thought to myself watching, he's yelling at Dan Feeney, do you know the snap count? And Feeney probably was just saying, no. All right, I just got here.
Right? I don't even know.
Hey, listen, he's supposed to go on two. He's supposed to go on one. And Feeney was like, I didn't know all that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You've had those conversations before?
Pat, he's like the fourth string center. You know what I mean? Like, and Cody White here just said, like, hey, I ain't playing center anymore. So someone else go do that.
Right.
They did re-sign Kramer, right? He was available and he's on the practice squad. Maybe
he'll be up next week. And eventually everybody in Chicago's gotta admit they miss Sam. You know, they miss him. That's okay.
That's your guy. That's it.
Yep. It's true, man.
I know.
You could have had him easily.
He understood everything that was going on around him, which is a rarity on that offense.
Oh, all right, hold on real quick. Think about that. If you did have Sam in this offense with the guys next to him.
No doubt. No
doubt. Right, Olin, you've talked about you're better with good guys next to you. As smart as he is, it's like, I love it, you know, his physicality, all that kind of stuff. It would have been a perfect fit for this O-line.
Well, they've gone down this, they've been struggling at that position, right? And Lucas Patrick does a pretty good job when he is in there, right? I would say, like, if your back is bad, stop all the jumping around and celebrating in the end zone. Save your back.
He did get hit pretty hard while trying to make a
play. Oh, man. I tell you, you better keep your – I seen Jay Cutler throw an interception in San Francisco, man, and Orlando Pace. I knew it was the end, man. I've seen guys get hit, Pat, on interceptions. I've been hit on interceptions. Man, you have to keep your – D linemen are frothing at the mouth when they get interceptions. And they're looking for you, man. And especially if you play football like I play football, where you're a little bit on the edge. Guys want to take your head off at that moment.
That's one of the funnier things to watch, the All-22. If you went, like, one of the side, like, just go to the – when there's an interception thrown, go look at the O-linemen. Their head's just going back and forth, left and right, left and right, left and right.
Hey, look at the veterans, Pat. They know.
Yep, exactly, exactly.
Sometimes you want to just go to the ground, but you don't want to put that on film.
Right, right, right,
right. Oh, it's awesome.
No, but we hope Lucas is okay, man, because you see they miss him.
Yeah,
they miss him when he's not out there.
Yep. No question. All right, we've got to take a break. You're listening to the Scores Great Clips postgame show. It's presented by Tullamore Dew, and we'll be right back on the Score.
line drive kick, so Colley Raymond will get an opportunity here. And that's a good return. Out past the 25. No longer a good return. He loses the football. It is Bears ball. Tyreek Stevenson was able to char that ball loose. And it looked like DeMarcus Gates, who just got brought up from the practice squad, recovered it. There's Gates.
On the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that is the hit of the game, which is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. And it really looked like Stevenson had the game of his career, had an interception and then forced a fumble. And you thought we'd be talking about that a little bit and his contribution a little bit. But, fellas, you know, the most underrated skill in sport is finding a way to lose, apparently, and the Bears are mastering it.
Yeah, they know how to sour a good game. I mean, that's unfortunate for Tyreek Stevenson being a rookie and getting your first pick and forcing a fumble and – you know, you're feeling good about yourself, and the next thing you know, you got to walk away with an interception ball with your name on it, right? And the score is a losing score after you think you're going to win the game. I'm sure T-Matt will probably paint that up for him, Olin, and it'd be a bad one to have up there. Maybe just don't put the score on there. But again, there was some good things in this game for three quarters we were excited about, and then the end of the fourth quarter happens. We're sitting here talking about, you know, one of the best. This is, to me, it's one of the worst losses I think we've talked about in the last few years, because they were finally healthy, right? We wanted to evaluate Justin Fields, and I thought he did a great job for three quarters. And then, you know, they find a way to lose this game, and it turned from something that I was excited to talk about this. Maybe we saw some progress, and now we've got a loss to talk about.
Yeah, and the progress was the talent you saw on the field standing up to a very talented team, right?
Yep.
And also for a lot of that game, a coaching staff that was hot going in. By that, I mean Coach Eberflus was hot going into that game, you know, calling plays and just you were very, very happy going into late into that fourth quarter. And then again, as we repeated myself, I thought to myself, how are they going to lose this game, right? How are they going to find a way to get out, to come out of this game with a loss? And they did it, right? They did it by making critical mistakes at critical times, some questionable play calling. It seems that they have an MO, they have an identity, and this is their identity, right? That at the end of a game, when they play great for three quarters or almost four quarters here in this game, at some point someone's going to fumble and the ball's going to end in an end zone. It's going to be a safety or it's going to be a touchdown, right? And the defense is going to give up big plays and the offense is going to go boom, 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 score. Boom, 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 score. And now they're ahead and you're going to lose the game.
And it seems to me, guys, when we do talk about these losses, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like whenever we get to these points, we're not just talking about a player mistake. We're also talking about a coaching mistake. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's both sides that we're talking about or having a discussion of, you know, which one is it more falling on, but it's falling on both, right? So it's both situations. Somebody can't make a play, you feel, or somebody drops a ball in the past, but then now you're talking about coaching decisions. So it's just it's a whole team issue. And the reason why that's why you lose as much as you do, but it just doesn't seem like we're ever talking about one certain thing. It seems like we're talking about everybody.
And I got to say, it makes you worry a little bit when you see a team lose in that fashion, because it really makes you doubt yourself as a human. You know, it makes you feel kind of invalidated and, you know, you're humiliated, your pretensions are stripped bare before the public. I mean, it's just, there's no, you know, you guys have been through it and we've talked about it. There's the ability to overcome that is something that unfortunately a lot of people have to learn, but it is an awful thing. And it makes you worry about the rest of the season, frankly, when that becomes a norm. And we've talked about how every team will then believe they can beat you, but you kind of might get into a bad headspace where you believe you'll lose, and that's an awful thing.
Olin, let me, like, it just, your life kind of sucks, right? Even at home, you're miserable.
Yeah.
Your wife's looking at you like, what's wrong? Well, she knows what's wrong with you, but you just make even your home life suck. I mean, they're humans. The same with the coaches when they go home as well, and then that trickles into to Halas Hall, and you know, it's not fun. I mean, you never wanted to go out publicly, never wanted to go out to dinner. You didn't even want to get out of your car to pump gas because you didn't want to be seen. You don't want anybody to ask you questions. It's a tough thing to be going through this as a player.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation we had with Dan Pompey in the pregame show, right? And Dan and I disagree with him, and I'm sure he disagrees with me sometimes, but he said that he thinks culture is overrated in the NFL. But Dan Campbell did change the culture there in Detroit, and culture is overrated if you're not in a place with something that's going on like the Bears have going on, right? They can't find a win, right? And there's this mysterious thing, Pat, right? There's this mysterious thing around that building, like you're talking about, where it just doesn't feel like we can put the game away or we can find a way to win and do the right things at the end of the game. And that is just having somebody there who can almost predict the end of games, right? We're on the pregame show and we're talking about this game. We're on our text chain and we're talking about this game's going to come down and Justin Fields is going to have the ball in his hands, right? We're talking about it. So at the end of the game, it's just, you know, frustrating for us to look out there and say, oh, look, Aiden Hutchinson's one-on-one with Darnell Wright. Right? Like, that couldn't have been your plan at the end of the game. Right? That to me, is the most frustrating thing. And whether it's right or not, it falls on the coach's doorstep, right?
Yep.
And if I'm Ryan Poles, like this game, guys, when you go back and really look at it, the storyline all week from even out of Halas Hall, from Ian Rappaport this morning. We talked about it all week. I called the Mully and Hall show at 7 a.m. I called the Parkinson Spiegel show in the afternoon. We talked about the seven games for Justin Fields. That's great. Everyone knows what's going on here. So on third and one in the fourth quarter, you quarterback sneak it. And then you don't go for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the game, I don't know everything that happened there, but that could go either way, man. I don't know the exact call, but it looked like Justin Fields could have kept one. On the second down run, he could have kept one. I'm talking about the second to the last drive. And on the third one, he decided to throw the ball to Tyler Scott. I would argue he shouldn't be doing that.
Let's get to Mike. Mike is in Oak Lawn. Hi, Mike.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
The Bears set a new record today in the NFL. New record. We got to pull it, boys. First team in history, plus three in turnovers. Four turnovers, 40 minutes of offense, and lost the football game.
Are we talking about positives? Is that like they did something well? Like there's a win?
Right, right. Yeah. They set a record right there. No other team in the NFL has ever done that. Losing four turnovers.
They had four takeaways.
40 minutes of offense and didn't win a football game.
Okay.
That's interesting.
They were plus two, though, in the turnovers. I mean, I'm not saying you aren't right. I'm just saying they didn't get plus three. They got plus two because they gave the ball away a couple times themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, but the percentage, right, like to Mike's point, the percentage of losing that game
is
astronomically low, right? Like,
absolutely.
You have to find a way to lose it. Like, you have to beat yourself at that moment. Where you are in that game, that game, you have to beat yourself.
The Detroit Lions did not possess the ball for 20 minutes at all. Like, they were 19 minutes, 17 seconds.
Yeah.
And you still lose the game.
They fumbled on the kickoff, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And you gave up 31 points in 19 minutes, 17 seconds. Think about that. That's hard to do. I mean, that's what losing teams do. I mean, you just look at these stats. You know, like he said, 40 minutes, 24 seconds to 19 minutes, 17 seconds, and you still lose the game, and you gave up 31 points to a team that didn't possess the ball for more than 20 minutes. That's unbelievable.
That is very depressing. All right.
But is it unbelievable, right?
No.
From what we've seen, I mean, think about it. Montgomery barely did anything. He ends the game with 12 carries, 76 yards, and the game-winning touchdown. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just he didn't do much the whole game.
Yep. Until that darn fourth quarter. And that's when he just know, kept ripping
those
off
last
runs.
Two drives.
Oh, my God. All right. We got to take another timeout. We will be back directly. It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew.
White was matched up with him again. Fields climbs. Fields throws. Touchdown. 1-2 punch delivers. It's Fields to Moore for the lead. more than a month without a touchdown. DJ Moore's got it.
Well, here it is, Hutchinson. You talked about the pass rush, right? Doing a really good job, but I love to climb the pocket. Get up inside that pocket, get yourself a little bit extra time, and then a beautiful throw right down the pipe, just keeping it away from the middle of the safety so he can't come over and get to that. That location was absolutely dead level perfect.
It is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew, and that is the time for the hot and the who's hot, who's cold. And it's sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency Call. The plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And Justin Fields is who is hot. He played well enough to play another game and start another game. And they looked better with him, at least early. And we've decided to make him the guy that's hot. The guy that's cold, you could argue it was Justin Fields late in the game, but I wouldn't do that. The guy who's cold is none other than Velus Jones Jr., who was not on the roster. He wasn't on the 53.
You had to get his name in there, didn't you?
What the hell? Let's blame him again.
That's too good. Oh, man. I tell you what, though, that play, what you saw out of Justin Fields in that play, I think everybody's been wanting to see, right?
Yes.
Just his athletic ability to be able to move in the pocket, keep his eyes up, deliver a deep ball, which he's good at. And that's just what we haven't seen enough of. But then I was thinking about his press conference this week. They said, what do you need to do to, you know, prove your job, blah, 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 is win games, right? He said, win games. Mm-hmm. And he's 0-1. In the next seven games, what are you going to do? And I thought he played a good game for three and a half quarters.
Right.
And then unfortunately, you know, maybe he could have kept the ball or whatever. But his goal was to win games, and, you know, he's 0-1. So that's where we stand.
You know, the thing also is we talked about, right, like can he play the game he needs to play? You know, mm-hmm. Can he stay healthy? And, you know, last year they went Miami, Detroit, and then Atlanta was when he put up these kind of numbers, right? 100 pass yards, 100-plus rush yards, accounting for two or three touchdowns. Guys, he goes Lions, Vikings, Lions, Browns.
Yep.
He's going to get hit a lot right now for the next month, right? He's going to get hit a lot by these defenses. We know what the Vikings do. We know what Flores is going to do Monday night. They play the Lions again, and then they play the Cleveland Browns, the number one defense in the NFL. So he's got a good stretch here. You know, we failed the first test. Now, you would say for three and a half quarters, he did it, right? And you could put blame all over the place. But I'm just going to keep repeating myself and saying this. Eventually, you can't just keep blaming all these different things.
Yep.
Right. Eventually, there's a character in the story, and all what we're talking about is if they have the number one pick, do they take a quarterback?
Yep.
And by the way, when we were talking about the likelihood or unlikelihood of losing, rather likelihood of winning, Big Z tweeted that since the start of the 2000 season, teams with time of possession greater than 40 minutes have a 105. In 10 record, that's 91.3% to win in non-overtime games. The Bears, of course, held the ball 40 minutes and 24 seconds.
And then what's the percentage of winning the turnover battle by two? You add that on top of it.
That's
so put that
one
on top of it. I mean, that's like that's a 99% chance, right? I mean, this is the one game you lose.
It's a miracle they lost.
Yeah.
And then to the other point we were talking about, like, I know it's two totally different situations, but last week, Dan Campbell, right, with a minute 47 left on the Chargers 26, 4th-and-2, and he goes for it, right? Game tied. Yep. Game tied, and he goes for it and to get that first down. They get it.
Sure.
Why? Because golf hits LaPorta in the flat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Right? Because you put the ball in my quarterback's hands, in my franchise quarterback's hands, and I said, go make a play. Go end this game for me. Put this thing away. This is your team. And what you saw, Pat Manley talked about it earlier. He walked down that sideline after everything looked horrible. It looked like they were going to lose the game. He shook everybody's hand. And he said, we're going to be all right.
Yep.
Yeah. Want to send a shout out to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit aureliospizza.com. to order from the nearest location nearest you, Aurelio's Pizza. It's the sauce. Olin, you'll be on tomorrow morning at 7, And Pat, sure. You're on Tuesday, is that
Tuesday
right?
Tuesday at 11.
And I will be on tomorrow at 5:30. So right. At least I've got.
Well, get yourself a long snapper IPA, guys.
Yeah, there you go. That'll make you sleep. Great stuff.
How
thanks,
about two
Pat.
Or three of those, man?
Go get one.
How about three Pat, of them?
Hey, the way Pat described them, man, I wanted one. You know what I mean?
I heard the party was great yesterday.
Oh, it
Pat,
was fun. So, it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
My invite must be in the mail.
That's what I said. Thanks for the
you
invite.
I mean?
Yeah. It was on Instagram for you. It was open invite.
we're just followers. Okay, great stuff. Thanks to Tyler.
Only long snappers and kickers, Molly.
Oh, you're the best. All right, guys, have a great week. We'll look forward to reconvening on Monday for us. And again, we'll be on tomorrow morning, and Olin's jumping on. And Pat, you're going to be on Tuesday and Thursday. Is that right?
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Somebody call Mitch. Talk to him about time and a half this season. Thank you.
We're going to need combat pay. All right, guys, PTSD, have a great one. Thanks,
right,
Tyler. Thanks to everyone. See ya.
Well, here it is, Hutchinson. You talked about the pass rush, right? Doing a really good job, but I love the climb the pocket. Get up inside that pocket, get yourself a little bit extra time, and then a beautiful throw right down the pipe, just keeping it away from the middle of the safety so he can't come over and get to that. That location was absolutely dead level perfect.
It is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew, and that is the time for the hot and the who's hot, who's cold, and it's sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency Call. The plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911, and Justin Fields is who is hot. He played well enough to play another game and start another game, and they looked better with him, at least early, and we've decided to make him the guy that's hot. The guy that's cold, you could argue it was Justin Fields late in the game, but I wouldn't do that. The guy who's cold is none other than Velus Jones Jr., who was not on the roster. He wasn't on the 53.
You had to get his name in there, didn't you?
What the hell? Let's blame him again.
That's too good. Oh, man. I tell you what, though, that play, what you saw out of Justin Fields in that play, I think everybody's been wanting to see, right?
Yes.
Just his athletic ability to be able to move in the pocket, keep his eyes up, deliver a deep ball, which he's good at. And that's just what we haven't seen enough of. But then I was thinking about his press conference this week. They said, what do you need to do to prove your job, blah, 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 is win games, right? He said, win games. Mm-hmm. And he's 0-1. In the next seven games, what are you going to do? And I thought he played a good game for three and a half quarters.
Right.
And then unfortunately, maybe he could have kept the ball or whatever. But his goal was to win games, and, he's 0-1. So that's where we stand.
You know, the thing also is we talked about, right, like can he play the game he needs to play? Mm-hmm. Can he stay healthy? And, last year they went Miami, Detroit. And then Atlanta was when he put up these kind of numbers, right? 100 pass yards, 100-plus rush yards, accounting for two or three touchdowns. Guys, he goes Lions, Vikings, Lions, Browns.
Yep.
He's going to get hit a lot right now for the next month, right? He's going to get hit a lot by these defenses. We know what the Vikings do. We know what Flores is going to do Monday night. They play the Lions again, and then they play the Cleveland Browns, the number one defense in the NFL. So he's got a good stretch here. We failed the first test. Now you would say for three and a half quarters he did it, right? And you could put blame all over the place. But I'm just gonna keep repeating myself and saying this. Eventually you can't just keep blaming all these different things.
Yep.
Right? Eventually there's a character in the story, and all what we're talking about is if they have the number one pick, do they take a quarterback?
Yep.
By the way, when we were talking about the likelihood or unlikelihood of losing, rather likelihood of winning, Big Z tweeted that since the start of the 2000 season, teams with time of possession greater than 40 minutes have a 105-10 record. That's 91.3% to win in non-overtime games. The Bears, of course, held the ball 40 minutes and 24 seconds.
And then what's the percentage of winning the turnover battle by two? You add that on top of it.
That's
so put that on top of it. I mean, that's like, that's a 99% chance, right? I mean, this is the one game you lose.
It's a miracle they lost.
Yeah.
And then to the other point we were talking about, like, I know it's two totally different situations, but last week, Dan Campbell, right, with a minute 47 left on the Chargers 26, fourth and two, and he goes for it, right? Game tied. Yep. Game tied, and he goes for it, and to get that first down, they get it. Why? Because Goff hits LaPorta in the flat.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Right? Because you put the ball in my quarterback's hands, in my franchise quarterback's hands, and I said, go make a play. Go end this game for me. Put this thing away. This is your team. And what you saw, Pat Manley talked about it earlier. He walked down that sideline after everything looked horrible. It looked like they were going to lose the game. He shook everybody's hand. And he said, we're going to be all right.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Want to send a shout out to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit AureliosPizza.com to order from the nearest location, the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, it's the sauce. Olin, you'll be on tomorrow morning at 7. And Pat, you're on Tuesday, is that
Tuesday
right?
Tuesday at 11.
And I will be on tomorrow at 5:30. So at least I've got...
Well, get yourself a long snapper IPA, guys.
Yeah, there you go. That'll make you sleep. Great stuff.
How
thanks
about two or three of those,
kidding.
Man?
Go get one.
How about two or three of them?
Hey, the way Pat described them, man, I wanted one. You know what I mean?
I heard the party was great yesterday.
Oh, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
My invite must be in the mail.
That's what I said. Thanks for the invite.
You know what I mean? It was on Instagram for you. It was open invite.
we're just followers. Okay, great stuff. Thanks to Tyler.
Only long snappers and kickers, Molly.
Oh, man. You're the best. All right, guys, have a great week. We'll look forward to reconvening on Monday for us. And again, we'll be on tomorrow morning. And Olin's jumping on. And Pat, you're going to be on Tuesday and Thursday. Is that right? Tuesday and Wednesday.
Somebody call Mitch. Talk to him about time and a half this season. Thank you.
That's right.
We're going to need combat pay. Man. All right, guys, have a great one. Thanks,
right,
Tyler. Thanks to everyone. See ya.